शंकर। अस्मराचार्य पर्यन्तं हस्मराच वंदे गुरु परंपरां वंदे गुरु। Very good. Welcome back. We turn this volume up just a little bit, tiny, tiny bit. Thank you. We're going to continue today with our study of Sadhana Panchakam. We'll finish the text and move on to the Manisha Panchakam. Be nice to review the text completely. We can chant it, and the translation is shown line by line. The reason for that, by the way, is so that as I chant the Sanskrit, you have an opportunity to read the translation, so that when you recite the Sanskrit, that the translation is in your mind. So let's proceed. It's very short. You can repeat after me, and be sure to read the translation as we go along. Vedo nityam adhiyatam, vedo nityam taduritam karma swanushtiyatam, taduritam karma swanushti, tene shasya vidhiyatam, tene shasya vidhiyat, apachitik kamye matistyajatam, apachitik kamye matistyajatam, papaghah pariduyatam, papaghah pariduyat, bhavasuke dosho nusandhiyatam, bhavasuke dosho nusandhi, atmechha vyavasiyatam, atmechha vyavasi, nijagrahat turnam vinirgam yatam, nijagrahat turnam vinirgam, sangasatsuvidhiyatam, sangasatsuvidhi, bhagavato bhaktir dridhadhiyatam, bhagavato bhaktir dridha, shantyadeh parichiyatam, shantyadeh parichi, dridhataram karmashu santyajyatam, dridhataram karmashu santyajyat, sadvidvanupasripyatam, sadvidvanu, pratidinam tat paduka sevyatam, pratidinam tat paduka, brahmaikaksharamarthyatam, brahmaikaksharamar, shutishiro vakyam samakarnyatam, shutishiro vakyam makam, vakyartascha vicharyatam, vakyartascha vichar, shutishirah pakshas samashriyatam, shutishirah pakshas, dustarkatsuviramyatam, dustarkatsuvi, shutimatastarkonusandhiyatam, shutimatastarkonu, brahmasmiti vibhavyatam, brahmasmiti, aharahar garvav parityajyatam, aharahar garvav parit, teheham maturujyatam, teheham maturujyat, buddhajanar vara parityajyatam, buddhajanar vara parityajyatam, kshutvyadishchachikitsyatam, kshutvyadishchachikitsyatam, pratidinam bhikshaushadham bhujyatam, pratidinam bhikshaushadham, swadvannam natu yachyatam, swadvannam natu yachyatam, vidhivashat praptena santushyatam, vidhivashat praptena santushyatam, shitoshnari vishahyatam, shitoshnari, natu vrita vakyam samuchariyatam, natu vrita vakyam, aurasinyam abhipsyatam, aurasinyam abhipsyatam, janakrapa naishturyam utsrijyatam, janakrapa naishturyam utsrijyatam. We finished these first four verses. Nice to, can you all hear me okay? Am I loud enough, Finnbach? Good, thank you. Nice to chant this together. I have fond memories of being a young student and chanting this every day. As a young student, it really helped me stay focused on the whole process. This short text, as we've discussed before, is really an outline or like a guidebook, as it were, to the spiritual pilgrimage of life, the Jivan Yatra. It's all here, and nice to reflect on that, nice to stay on the right track. To summarize the text, the first verse talked about the attitudes that we require for this pilgrimage, this yatra of spiritual growth. The second verse talked about satsang and the necessity for finding a proper guru and receiving guidance. Third verse was the main sadhana of Vedanta, shravana, manana, nididhyasana, all the three being equally important and indispensable to one's Vedantic study. And the last verse we saw in a previous class talked about the kind of lifestyle that is conducive to nididhyasana. So shravana is that process of inquiry guided by the teachings. Manana is that process of removing doubts. And as we said at some length in our prior class, once shravana and manana have become fruitful, the biggest task, and in without doubt, what requires the most time and dedication is nididhyasana, contemplation. This goes on for most people for many years, and what kind of lifestyle should be lived while those many years of contemplation go on, that's described in the fourth verse. Leading us to the final verse, and for several reasons, my favorite verse, if I can speak of it. This is one of my favorite short texts, and I have actually, the final verse is very dear to me, and I'll explain why when we complete it. So the final verse is really the culmination of our life of spiritual growth. Let's begin. Ekante sukham hasyatam, ekante sukham hasyatam, paratare chetas samadhiyatam, paratare chetas samadhiyatam. Purnatma susamikshyatam, purnatma susamik, jagadidam tatpadhitam drishyatam, jagadidam tatpadhitam drishyatam, prakarma pravilapyatam, prakarma pravila, chitibalanat yuttaraishlishyatam, chitibalanap yuttaraishlishyatam, prarabdham dviha bhujatam, prarabdham dviha bhujatam, atha para brahmatmana sthiyatam, atha para brahmatmana sthiyatam. Very good. So, instructions for the conclusion of your process of spiritual growth. What should you do? Text is very explicit. Ekante sukham asyatam. Eka ante. It's kind of an idiom. In a place where you're one and only, meaning a place where you're alone, in a solitary place. You should go to that solitary place. By the way, that solitary place need not be a cave in the Himalayas. That solitary place could be your own home in a room where you're alone. It need not be any special place. But alone, ekante, in solitude, ekante, sukham asyatam. Asyatam, one should be seated. All of these verbs are these imperative verbs. One should be seated. Seated how? Sukham, comfortably. This is actually a reference to Patanjali's instruction in his Yoga Sutra, where he describes asana. He says simply, sthira sukham asanam, when you sit for meditation, according to Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra, your posture for meditation should be sthira, firm, and sukha, comfortable. Comfortable because you're going to be meditating for quite a while. You can't meditate if you're in pain, if you're in discomfort. So, sukham asyatam. Be seated comfortably in a solitary place. And then what? Then comes the meditation. Paratare chetaha samadhiyatam. Samadhiyatam. Focus. Concentrate. Concentrate what? Your chetas, your mind. Concentrate your mind on what? Paratare. On the paratara. Interesting language. Para is the highest. Okay. Paratama is higher than that. Paratara is higher than that. Interesting language. Para, in English, we say highest. We use that superlative affix, that EST. But as you know, there's also comparative affix, ER, and superlative affix, EST. Well, in Sanskrit, tama is the comparative, ER, and tara is a superlative EST. So here, when we say paratara, it's like, to translate it very literally into English, highest est. Concentrate your mind on the highest est. Meaning what? Focus your mind on Brahman, the absolute reality, the truth. Now, can you contemplate something which is unknown or undiscovered by you? Absolutely not. Which is why the third verse, we said, was really the focal point of the text. The middle verse and the focal point of the whole text. The middle verse, verse 3, Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. By the way, if you miss a class, the classes are all sequential. You can go to our website and listen to the text. So if you miss parts, it's not going to hold together. So it's important to hear at each class. Paratare, on that highest Brahman, Chetaha Samadhiyatam, focus your mind. So here we're talking about having gained the knowledge through Shravana, having made that discovery of the fact that your true nature as Satchidananda Atma is utterly non-different from the truth of the universe, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Having made that discovery through Shravana, Manana is performed to remove any doubts or vagueness, leading finally to Nididhyasana, Nididhyasana contemplation. And what's described in this line is the culmination of Nididhyasana, when Nididhyasana becomes utterly fruitful. Meaning, any last trace of ignorance or vagueness with regard to your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, and the fact that Atma, which is you, is utterly non-separate from Brahman, any trace of ignorance or vagueness with regard to that truth is removed at this point. When it's removed, what's left? And what's so significant here is it truly is a process of removal. In this whole process, everything we've seen in this text, especially Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, it's all a process of removal. You do not become Satchidananda Atma. You already are Satchidananda Atma. Atma does not become identical to Brahman. Atma is always identical to Brahman. The irony in this whole process of spiritual growth is that, and these words are carefully chosen, in your process of spiritual growth, you gain nothing. That sounds pretty. What do you mean? We're doing all of this for nothing? That's not what I said. You're not doing all this for nothing. You gain nothing. What you get rid of, however, is incredibly significant. Not only do you get rid of ignorance, but that ignorance happens to be the cause for all suffering. All suffering. When you get rid of this ignorance, ignorance with regard to your true nature, Atma, when that ignorance is utterly removed, as it is in this line, At that point, all suffering comes to an end. Notice you don't get anything. Literally, you don't gain a thing. But getting rid of suffering is absolutely a goal worth achieving. So, paratre chetaha samadhiyatam. You contemplate upon that ultimate reality of Brahman and absorb yourself in that. Nididhyasana becomes fruitful. And when Nididhyasana is fruitful, what is your, when you're done? This is achieving the condition we understand as Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means you attain mukti, freedom, liberation, Jivan, while alive. Jivan Mukti is what we commonly understand as enlightenment. It's a condition of being utterly enlightened, utterly free while you're still alive, invested with this particular body. In that condition, Purnatma Susamikshatam. Some notes from the commentaries. Purnatma Sarvatma, the commentator says. Susamikshatam, you should see very clearly, very directly. What should you see or discover? Purnatma, the Purnata of Atma, the fullness of Atma. What do we mean by the fullness of Atma? That's why the commentator says Sarvatma. Sarvatma is a simple term with such a profound meaning. The Atma of all. That's what it means. Sarvatma, the Atma of all. And that term reveals the fact that the consciousness by which you know what's happening right now, that consciousness is the same for each and every one of us. It is one and the same consciousness behind each one of our minds, behind every intelligent being in the universe. By the way, intelligent beings include ants and insects and all of that. They're not as intelligent, perhaps, as we are. Although in some cases that might be debatable, we don't know. Human experience can be a wide range. Anyway, Sarvatma. Sarvatma Purnatma Susamikshitam. In contemplation, in meditation, in samadhi, you have an opportunity to appreciate that reality, that the consciousness by which your thoughts are known is the same consciousness by which all thoughts are known, by which all minds are known, all experiences are known. One all-pervasive consciousness, Sarvatma, Susamikshitam, to discover that clearly, vividly, in terms of your own experience, as you sit in meditation. Meditation is an experience, is it not? Sure. So in that experience of meditation, that experience is known due to your consciousness. And in that experience, you can appreciate that the knownness of your experience in meditation is the same as the knownness of anyone and everyone's experience. One consciousness. We're going to be talking much more about it. Please remember that we're using this text as an introduction, as like an outline of all the classes that are going to come. So the details about how your consciousness reveals your thoughts and how your consciousness is the same as for all, that will be unfolded in great detail in, not in Manisha Panchakam, but in the first really didactic text we'll take through, which will be the next one, Drigdrisha Viveka. So after this Sadhana Panchakam, one more short text, Manisha Panchakam, which we'll start tonight, then comes the first really thorough methodical text, Drigdrisha Viveka, and any and all questions you have about Atma will be answered in that text, I promise you. So be patient and wait for that to come. Purnatma Susamikshitam, in meditation, you appreciate Sarvatmata, the oneness of consciousness, And simultaneously, jagaridam tat baditam drishyatam. Drishyatam, may one see. May one see jagaridam, idam jagat, this entire world. May one see this entire world tat badhitam. As badhita negated, but tad badhita negated in that. We have to interpret this properly. When you understand that there is one consciousness that pervades the universe, and further, when you understand that that one consciousness is not different from the universe, in fact, that one consciousness is what gives reality to the universe. That consciousness is not just some kind of nebulous stuff. That consciousness is existence itself. It's not just Chaitanya, it's also Sat. It's not just Chit, it's also Sat. It's not just Jnanam, it's also Satyam. Conscious existence. That one all-pervasive conscious existence gives existence to everything in the cosmos. When you understand that, and again, this is also going to be discussed in great detail. Actually, not in Drigdrisha Viveka, but in the text after that. This is the outline. So first in Drigdrisha Viveka, we're going to understand what is Atma. And then in the next text, Panchikarana, we're going to understand what is Brahman. Then in the next text after that, Laghu Vakya Vritti, you'll understand how Atma is Brahman. This is all going to be unfolded in great detail. You're getting the sneak preview right now. And in the sneak preview, when you are utterly enlightened, when you are a Jivan Mukta, you will discover that Idam Jagat, this entire world, is baditam. It's negated. Negated in the sense that you understand it's not an independent reality. It all exists because of consciousness. Because of Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, which happens to be Satchidananda Atma. You understand that all that exists is a manifestation or expression of that underlying reality, the underlying reality which is the same as the consciousness by which you know your experience. This is a vast vision. This is the ultimate vision of Vedanta. Drishyatam, may one discover this vision in meditation, that idam jagat, this entire world, is bhadita, is negated, tat, in that, meaning that you discover that all that exists is a manifestation of that underlying reality, and the underlying reality for the cosmos is the same as the underlying reality for you. One and the same Brahman. Then we come to the last few lines. So the first half of verse 5 is that final process of contemplation. Be seated in a solitary place. Focus your mind on Brahman. Appreciate the fact that there's one Atma pervading the universe, and understand, recognize that that one Atma is truly all that exists. Manifest in many forms, but only that one Atma exists. So that's the first half of the final verse. Now, the final half of the verse talks about now that you're enlightened, imagine, suddenly, you're enlightened. Sooner or later, the question is going to arise, now what? Okay, I'm enlightened. Now what? What to do next? If you're enlightened, your sadhana is utterly complete. There's no necessity for further shravana, manana, or nididhyasana. There's no necessity for meditation. I've always been struck by the fact that my guru doesn't meditate every day. I meditate every day. He doesn't need to. I need to. He doesn't need to. When your sadhana is complete, there's no necessity for that sadhana. Then what? Well, prak karma pravilapyatam. These last lines are really talking about when we say now what. Now what means live the rest of your life and prepare for the end of life. And these last lines really read as a preparation for death. How will an enlightened person prepare himself or herself for death? Describes very beautifully. Prakarma pravilapyatam. Prakarma, your prior karmas in this life and prior lives. Pravilapyatam, you reflect on it, consider. Consider how many lifetimes you may have had before. Consider, it's a natural thing to do as we're preparing for our death, to reflect on the many things that we've done in this life, the many wonderful things we've done, and the many mistakes we've also made. Pravilapyatam, reflect on all of this, all of your prior karmas and past lives and this life, to reflect on all of that in preparation for death. Then, what about acquiring new karmas? Now, according to the doctrine of karma, if you acquire many new karmas, those new karmas will drive you to acquire another life, another birth, a rebirth. But chitti balat, I'm breaking the word apart here, chitti balat na api utraihi shlishyatam. We have to break the words apart. Chitti balat na api utraihi shlishyatam. Utraihi na shlishyatam. Utraihi, later karmas, future karmas. Na shlishyatam, don't be affected, don't be touched by later karmas. Don't do more karma. Don't undertake any more karmas. Wait a minute. How can you not do karmas? We said before we're describing a jivan mukta, one who's enlightened while still alive. And this verse says that that person, after becoming enlightened, shouldn't do any new karmas. Utraihi nashlashyatam. Let that person not be engaged in any future karmas. How is that possible? Doesn't an enlightened person have to eat, walk, talk, I suppose, function? Yes, absolutely. But this verse is very clear. Let that person not do any karmas. Is there a contradiction here? Those of you who understand Vedanta well know that there's no contradiction whatsoever. There's no contradiction whatsoever because when you're enlightened, as a result of the prior half of this verse, for such an enlightened person, the enlightened person knows, I am Chaitanya Atma. I am pure consciousness, Shuddha Chaitanya. And as pure consciousness, consciousness can't do anything. The body can act, the mind can act, but I don't do anything at all. The perspective is literally like this. This is just fun because it sounds so bizarre. Right now, I'm not talking. Say what? This is a Vedantic perspective. Right now, I am not talking. Now, it all depends on the definition of I. At the moment, I define myself as Satchit-Ananda Atma, as pure consciousness. When I define myself as pure consciousness, I can truly say, I'm not talking. Fortunately, my mouth goes on flapping. Maybe not fortunately, I don't know. It goes. This mind is thinking. This mouth is talking. This hand is doing whatever it's doing. But as Satchidananda Atma, I don't do anything at all. This is what it means to cease to be engaged in karma for an enlightened person. An enlightened person doesn't engage in karma. Does it mean that the enlightened person just sits? No. It means that the enlightened person's body moves, the enlightened person's mouth talks, the enlightened person's mind thinks. But the enlightened person knows, I am Satchidananda Atma, and as such, I don't do anything at all. Therefore, na api utraihi shlishyatam, one will not be affected by any future karmas. Why? Chitti balat. Due to the bala, due to the strength of chitti, of one's understanding, due to the power of knowledge, due to the completeness of one's understanding, one understands so firmly, I am consciousness, I don't act whatsoever. Chitti balat. Due to that enlightenment, one becomes freed from future karmas. Then, what about the current karmas? We understand karma, the doctrine of karma, and this is not a good time to go through the whole doctrine of karma. We say that each and every one of us have several kinds of karma. We have agami karmas, the karmas which are going to be accrued in the future, and we have something called prarabdha karmas, the karmas with which we were born, the karmas that led to this particular birth. Now, when you get enlightened, at the moment of enlightenment, you become free. Actually, we need to define this a little bit. I mean, let's just look at these three categories of karma. Thank you. The three main categories of karma: sanchitta, prarabdha, and agami. Some people like to call vardhamana. Vardha. Agami, I think, is more common than vardhamana. We just got done talking about agami karmas. That's utraihi, the future karmas. So these are future karmas. What we have to develop right now is that the enlightened person will not be reborn. Why will the enlightened person? Why is it important to establish that? Enlightenment is freedom from suffering. If you get born again, no matter how desirable the situation into which you're born, you're going to suffer. So the only way there's utter and complete freedom from suffering is in future, is if you're freed from rebirth. And in order to be free from rebirth, you can't go on accumulating more karmas. If the more karmas you accumulate, the more births you're going to undertake. So we just completed this line, talking about how the enlightened person, knowing I don't do anything, therefore that person doesn't commit any new karmas. The body is acting. The body acts like a machine. Machines don't gain karma. If you drive your car and have an accident, your car doesn't get bad karma for that. Your car is a machine. Body is a machine. Mouth is a machine. Your mind is a very complicated machine. This is to be discovered. Machines don't incur karma. Why do you incur karma? Because of ignorance. You don't know your mind is a machine. Anyway, we'll come to that in Drigdrisha Viveka. So with this chitti balat, with this understanding, there's no further karmas committed. Thank you. Then you are from an infinite number of prior lives, you have an accumulation of karma. Sanchitta means accumulation. And it's an accumulation of karmas over an infinite number of prior lives. So we can say it's an infinite accumulation I'm not going to go. There are a lot of details behind this. This is not the right time for details about the doctrine of karma. An infinite accumulation of karmas due to an infinite number of prior lives should drive you to have an infinite number of future births. Yet the enlightened person is said to be free from rebirth. In order to be free from rebirth, how do you get rid of an infinite accumulation of karmas? Can you kind of exhaust them one at a time? There's no way to exhaust an infinite. The joke I made up before, it's like if Bill Gates wanted to give away his wealth by writing out $1,000 checks. So he starts writing out checks. Paid to the order of blah, 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 $1,000, signed Bill Gates. He writes out a check, then another check, then another check. Could he give away all of his wealth like that? Not in his lifetime, that's for sure. Right? So this is the idea. If you have an infinite amount of karma, how could you ever get rid of it all? Well, there's a trick. And the trick is, you cannot get rid of individual karmas. You can't exhaust them individually. The only thing you can do is get rid of the ownership of those karmas. And let me explain. We'll go back to the... I've used this example before. Some of you have heard this before. By writing out $1,000 checks, Bill Gates will never get rid of his wealth. But the day will come when in one moment he will suddenly be free of all of his wealth. All of his wealth will suddenly be removed from him in one moment. Obviously, the moment he dies. By the way, I just like to make this comment. You know that Bill Gates has decided to give only a very, very small amount to his family, and he has dedicated, it must be like 99% of his wealth to charity, to his charitable foundation. So he's a great man. Anyway. Bill Gates, when he dies, no matter how much money he has, it goes in one moment. It goes because ownership goes. This is a key to understand it. You possess an infinite amount of karma. You can't get rid of it a little bit at a time, but when your ownership goes. Now, what do we mean by ownership? This infinite amount of karma belongs to the one who does the karma. This is very interesting. Who does the karma? This is very puzzling. We just got done saying that Satchidananda Atma doesn't do anything. Your body is a machine, so your body can't be the doer of karma. Your mind is a machine, then your mind can't be the doer of karma. Who is the doer of karma? From a Vedantic sense, from a Vedantic perspective, watch this very carefully. Consciousness can't do anything. Your body and mind are machines. Therefore, who is the willful doer of karma? The answer is, there isn't one. At this point, you respond, wait a minute, Swamiji. That's not my experience. I experience myself as a doer of karma. That's it. That one. When you say, I did it. Right? Maine kia. I did it. This I did, I did that, I did that, I did that. I did it. That I is what we understand in Vedanta as ahankara, ego. It's a fictitious doer of action, a fictitious karta. Karta means doer of action. Due to ignorance, you all possess a fictitious karta, doer, and karma belongs to the doer of action. Therefore, this infinite sanchita karma belongs to a fictitious agent, dwelling as you. And since it's a fictitious agent, it can be knocked off. It can be destroyed. So Vedanta does. Your infinite sanchitta karma belongs, the ownership goes to the ahankara. The ahankara is a fictitious agent. It's destroyed through atmajnanam, self-knowledge. When the teachings of Vedanta destroy your ahankara, your ownership of this infinite accumulation of karma is gone. Now, we're talking about the enlightened person. If the enlightened person has no future karmas, and the enlightened person has become freed from ownership of the infinite amount of past karmas, bear in mind that karma is what keeps you living. Your heart beats right now due to karma. And there are several yogic texts which say that due to karma, it is predetermined how many breaths you will breathe. This is how they define life, lifespan. That your karma defines how many breaths you will breathe in a given lifetime. By the way, that's one of the reasons in yoga, they teach pranayama so that you can slow down your breathing. If you slow down your breathing, then you will get to live a little longer. Makes sense, right? But wait a minute. If enlightenment destroys absolutely all of your karmas, then what will keep the enlightened person breathing? Nothing. Does it mean as soon as you get enlightened, you die? That can't be possible because we require enlightened teachers. So it cannot be that you get enlightened, you die. So there's one more factor we've yet to understand here. You can see it up on the board. Prarabdha karmas. The prarabdha karmas are the karmas that created this particular life. One detail is a prarabdha karma is a small portion of the sanchitta karma. And that small portion determines this lifespan. When one becomes enlightened, there's no possibility of committing future karmas. There's freedom from ownership of the accumulation of past karma, sanchitta karma, but the prarabdha karmas continue to unfold. They keep you alive. Even though the enlightened person no longer does action, the prarabdha karmas are results of past actions which continue to yield results or fruits. The best metaphor for this, a traditional metaphor, is a spinning wheel. You put effort. Imagine like when you were a kid, did you ever take a bicycle and turn it upside down and spin the wheel? This is nice, any kind of wheel. So imagine that bicycle upside down. You're spinning the wheel. That's karma, right? You're putting an effort. Now suppose you get enlightened, so to speak. Oh, I don't have to spin the wheel. So you stop. You stop making effort. Stop committing new karmas. Does the wheel stop immediately? The wheel has momentum. That wheel will continue to spin due to momentum. Prarabdha karma is, loosely speaking, karmic momentum. Due to past karmas, there's momentum that will carry an enlightened person, we're talking about an enlightened person now, that will carry an enlightened person to live until this prarabdha karma is finally exhausted. And that's what the penultimate line says. Prarabdham prarabdham, these karmas, the karmas that gave rise to this birth, iha, here. Here in this life, here in this body, iha, here, bhujyatam, may they be enjoyed, may they be experienced. The enlightened person Shankara says here, let the enlightened person experience the remainder of their prarabdha karmas. when those prarabdha karmas are over, the momentum for this life is over, there are no future karmas accumulated, there is no ownership of past karmas. Therefore, at the moment of death, the enlightened person, that Jivan Mukta, possesses zero karma. Therefore, there's no possibility of rebirth for that person. Now, in that moment of death, what is being lost? Generally, we think of death as a loss. We lose our life, we lose our families, we lose experience, we lose relationships, loved ones, whether we're dying or whether we're the one who loves the dying person. We always consider death as a great loss. How does death look to the enlightened person? This is a very remarkable closing passage of this sadhana panchakam. Atta, then. Then meaning after the prarabdha karmas are finished, after the momentum has finally been exhausted. So atta, then, at the end of one's life, at the time of death, parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. Sri Shankaracharya says sthiyatam. Let the enlightened person remain. Sthiyatam. Let the enlightened person remain how? Brahmatmana. Remain as one whose atma is Brahman. Let the enlightened person remain non-separate from Brahman. When you're alive, the enlightened person knows that while alive, I am non-separate from Brahman. In what sense? Satchidananda Atma is non-separate from Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. And even this body is also Brahmamaya, manifestation of Brahman. My mind is Brahmamaya. Everything is made of Brahman, so to speak. So while alive, the enlightened person gets it. Everything is Brahman. Everything is Brahman includes me for the enlightened person. Then at the moment of death, what changes? Body and mind remain Brahman. Mind ceases to function. Body starts decaying, but it still remains Brahman. Satchidananda Atma is utterly unchanged at the moment of death. We'll talk about that more in Driksha Viveka. At the moment of death, the enlightened person finds that nothing changes. Brahmatmana sthiyatam. Let the enlightened person remain utterly non-separate from Brahman. No change. Very beautiful. Very beautiful line. Every time I read this, I pray and hope that in my final moment, I'm lucid enough that these will be my final words. I don't know if that'll happen. I would like it to be. We don't know what will be the condition of our last moment, but if I'm conscious and lucid, I hope these words will come to my mind. Atta, now, parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. Let me remain utterly non-separate from Brahman. And with this line, Sri Shankaracharya concludes his sadhana panchakam. In this sadhana panchakam, we've seen all of these various steps for one's life of spiritual growth. We said it's also called Sopana Panchakam. It's like a ladder. It shows you the direction. It shows you the whole process of one's spiritual life. And you might enjoy chanting it from time to time at home because it really helps. I found it very helpful when I was a young student. It helps me stay focused on the next step, on the direction to be followed at all times. Now, there will be many, many questions that you have at this point. Naturally, this five verses has been an outline. We haven't gotten to methodical teachings yet. So if you have a lot of questions at this point, that's good. It means you're paying attention. If you have no questions, then I'm a little concerned. Sleeping people have few questions. So questions are good. By the way, let me mention also that a large class like this is not a good situation for question and answer. It works better in a small context. You know that on Sundays I have satsang. So if you have some particular questions, a great time to address those questions is come join us for satsang on Sundays at 6 p.m. Occasionally we'll do bhajans or something different. Mostly it's question and answer, though. You can also check on Saturday. I'll announce what we're doing. But most often it's question and answer. So if you have some particular questions, come join us then for satsang on Sunday. So beautiful text, is it not? Let's chant the last verse, and then we will conclude our study of Sadhana Panchakam, and then we'll begin our study of Manisha Panchakam. Repeat after me. Ekante sukham asyatam, ekante sukham asyatam, paratare chetas samadhiyatam, paratare chetas samadhi, purnatma susamikshatam, Purnatma susamikshatam, jagaridam tatpadhitam drishyatam, jagaridam tatpadhitam drishyatam, prakarma pravilapyatam, prakarma pravilapyatam, chittibalanapyuttaraishlishyatam, chittibalanapyuttaraishlishyatam, prarabdham dviha bhujyatam, prarabdham dviha bhujyatam, atapara brahmatmana sthiyatam, atapara brahmatmana sthiyatam. Good. That concludes our study of Sadhana Panchakam. And it would be nice to begin our study of Manisha Panchakam this evening. And in fact, it works out well because Manisha Panchakam requires